made it possible for us to have salvation. That's what we're going to learn about even today in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Be going on as we go through the book. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll be reading today verses 19 through 26, 25. 19 through 25, not promising we'll get that far, but we will try. Verses 19 through 25, Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you again for this, your word. Thank you for this, your truth. And Father, for this picture of what Christianity looks like. Father, thank you for this book that encourages those who have not gone on to faith to do so, showing that Christ is so much better than a religion or any religious system. Lord, thank you that we can come before you. Thank you that we can seek your face. Thank you that we can come into your very presence. Father, thank you for the gift of love and the sacrifice that made that possible. So often we forget. We forget because we're so concerned with ourselves. We're so concerned with what's going on around us. Lord God, we're so concerned with how Christianity looks to us, and yet you have a picture right here. Thank you for your absolute love for us. It shows, Father, in our life. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Hebrews, the writer here is seeking to help a church. He's seeking to help people who are gathered together around a Christian circle. They're gathered together around other Christians, and they see the work of Christ. They see all about it, but they're being persecuted. They're having problems. And that most of them, I mean, he's writing to Hebrew people, to Jews, who are acquainted with Christ but don't know Christ as their Savior. Some of them, anyway. And they are wanting to get back under the Jewish religious system. They want to get back under that because that's their security. Not only that, but they won't be persecuted. There's advantages, exterior advantages towards it. And the writer here is saying, look, you need to stop and think about this because Christ is superior. He's superior to everything that old religious system taught. Superior to the prophets. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to Abraham and goes on down through the line. And then he says, but the real problem that you're having isn't what's going on externally. The real problem you're having is belief. It's unbelief. And we see that in chapter 6 as he goes into it. But then he says, look, Jesus is the high priest. He's your high priest. You want a high priest? You want to go back under that religious high priest system? Well, here, Jesus is the high priest, according to Melchizedek, the order of Melchizedek. And he proves it through their own scriptures. And then he goes on in chapter 8 and says, let's compare the two. Let's compare the old covenant to the new. And then so he shows what the priesthood was like in the old covenant and what it's like in the new. He shows the system, the temple system in the old covenant, and then what it is in the new. So he goes on and shows all of this. He says it's a better covenant with better sacrifices. It's a better oath. It was given through a son, not just prophets, but through a son. And what we find out is that Jesus, in his sacrifice, blood sacrifice, he put away sin. We find out that there has to be a blood sacrifice for forgiveness of sins. There has to be. And that is shown through the Old Testament sacrifices. But Jesus' blood was what was needed. One sacrifice was enough. It comes down to a heart issue, not a head issue, a heart issue. And what we learned last week is there's no more offering for sins, not by me, not by you. Jesus Christ isn't even offering any more for sins because his blood is sufficient. That one sacrifice did it. We are free in Christ. Not and this doesn't mean that that's leading us to sin. It means it's leading us to serve God, and to run from sin, but to serve God. And that's where we find rest. That's where we find peace for our souls. So what we're going to look at this week is that salvation is a better way. Salvation is a better way. So we're going to start. We're going to look at how it looks. How it looks. Because what he's doing here, I want to tell you what he's doing here is drawing a picture. He's showing a picture to help these people understand that, you know what, this is how it looks when you have salvation. This is what happens. So I'll show you this as we get into it. Look at verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren. Now you think every time the scripture says brethren, it's talking about other Christians. But if you go back to Romans, I believe it's chapter 9, and Paul says, I would, if possible, I would sacrifice myself for my brothers in the flesh. And he's talking about the Jews, his fellow Jews. And he said, if it were possible, I would do that. Well, here I believe he's talking to these Jews, specifically the ones who we've learned through chapter 6 and chapter 8 and chapter 9 even, that they need Jesus Christ. They haven't yet believed. They haven't yet come to faith in Christ. And I believe he's talking to them. But there are principles here that we can take for ourselves because he's showing them a picture of what it looks like. They have the picture of the religious system. They have that in their background. They know everything about that. They know they have to bring sacrifices when they sin. They know they have to bring animal sacrifices. They are a grain. If they're really poor, they can bring flour. But they know that it's a blood sacrifice that is needed. They know that on the Day of Atonement, the high priest goes in and he takes a sacrifice for himself and for the nation. And it's all this blood work. They know all of this. So what he's doing is he's showing them a picture of what it can be when you have Christ. Right? So he says, therefore, brethren. He says, therefore, anytime you see therefore, you look and see what it's there for. So we look back, and what we see is what we looked at last week. Since Jesus gave one effective sacrifice, since he perfected those who are sanctified, since he wins, the enemies become his footstool, since he put laws into our hearts and into our minds, and since he remembers our sins no more, when we have trusted in Christ, he remembers our sins no more, he counts them against us no more, since there can be total forgiveness through Christ, since there is no more offering for sins because of Christ, and since he gives us a new identity, remember all that? Remember studying all that? Since all that is true, look what he says. Therefore, brethren, since all that is true, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, since we have confidence. Now, since we have is in the original language, it's in the present tense, which means it's now, it's in the active voice. It's happening and it's a participle. It has ongoing consequences. Since we have confidence. Now, to them, this would have been a saying which was anathema. Remember, you're talking to a Jewish mindset here. What they understood was that every time, every year, when the sacrifice of atonement was made, the high priest he had a ritual he had to go through that's laid out in the Old Testament. He had to wear certain clothes. He had to slaughter certain animals and take the blood of those animals for his own sin and then also for the sins of the nation that were committed mistakenly, without knowing it even. He had to go and he had to sacrifice. And the people all stood outside of the tent or the tabernacle, and they all stood there and they prayed and they waited anxiously. They waited in fear. And that high priest went in there in fear, because the veil that stood between the holy place and what was out here, the Holy of Holies and the holy place here, the veil that stood was a separation. It separated God from man. That was the picture. It was a picture. Separated God from man. And there was one mediator, the high priest, and he went in once a year in fear and trembling. And the people outside were fearful, because if that high priest went in and died, then they were not covered. They had a problem and they knew it. So this was a covering sacrifice for the sins that were committed in ignorance, and they would be held responsible. There would be curses, because if you sinned, there was a curse. If you obeyed, there were blessings. Remember, that was the old covenant teaching. That was the old covenant way. And so he's saying, look, as far as Christianity goes, since we, as he's talking about Christians, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Christ, because of everything that he's just talked about, that one sacrifice being sufficient, of Jesus not, of God not remembering our sins again for Christians, since of giving us a whole new identity, since we have confidence. Now that word confidence, it literally is boldness. Boldness. Now think about this. These Jews here were saying, boldness? You can come before God boldly and confidently, because their aspect of under the religious system that they were wanting to get back under, it was with fear and trembling. Now that doesn't mean that God is not a fearsome and awesome God. It does not mean we shouldn't have that proper view of God. Yes, he is fearsome. Yes, he is an awesome God. Yes, he is a tremendous, and the Bible even talks about a terrible, not a terrible bad, but terrible in his greatness. So great. We need to have that also in our heads, because that gives us a proper view of who God is. I mean, yes, we will be dancing in his presence. We will be singing. We will be joyous in his presence. And yet, his presence, his presence is fearsome presence. It's an awesome presence. So that was the only aspect they had of God. And yet what he says here is, look, here's the picture of it. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. And that word by is our preposition circle. It's the word in. Right in the sphere of the blood of Jesus. That is our only confidence to enter God, before God. Do you realize when you go in prayer, that's why we say in the name of Jesus when we get done praying. In Jesus' name. Because we come before God in the name of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. We do not come before God in our own deeds, in our own way, in our own manner. Because we're not good enough. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. His righteousness paid for our sins. So when we come before God, we come with a proper respect, but we come with confidence. We can come with confidence, whereas they could not. They came in fear. Because they didn't see that blood of Christ, because he hadn't come yet. But that's what was looked forward to. But they enter, look what it says. To have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. That holy place, what they would never have entered. But that's the power of the blood. That one sacrifice that was for all time. It was effective and it was never repeated. That's the power of the blood. Look at the next verse. By a new and living way. new and living way, because Jesus did what? He rose from the dead. He's alive. And the new part is the new covenant. It's new because the old covenant has been fulfilled in Jesus. So it's new. So he says, by that new and living way, remember, going into the presence of God with confidence into the holy place, by that new and living way, which he inaugurated. The word inaugurated, it means to open or ratify or put into effect. Jesus made this possible. He inaugurated this way. All right, so this is all about Christ. Now we're getting, I'm hoping you're catching the picture here, because we'll make it a little clearer soon. But he inaugurated this for us. I want you to see that. Because right in the middle, we tend to look over certain little phrases. Oh yeah, he did it for us. No, he did it for us. God didn't do this for his benefit. He didn't send Jesus Christ for his benefit. He didn't open up a new and a living way so that we could come boldly before him for his benefit. He did it for us. God had us in mind. And if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will. God didn't have to do that for us. He wanted to. Christ didn't have to come. He came out of obedience because he loves us. He wanted to. He set aside, Jesus, according to Philippians chapter 2, he set aside what made him look like God so he could come and look like us. Humbly. But look what it says. By a new and living way which he inaugurated or brought into effect for us through the veil that is his flesh. Through the veil. Now think about it for a minute, because that veil is what separated God from man in their eyes. That veil separated God and man. And so that veil, it was in the temple, it was about a foot thick. It was huge. It was made of silk type material. But there was so much of it, it was about a foot thick. You could not, you weren't going to cut it. You're going to get a knife and cut it. You weren't going to do that. And yet, that veil was torn. Remember when Christ died on the cross? And the veil was rent. The veil was torn. And that was a symbol of the fact that God is now open to man because of the blood of Christ. So look what it says. Through the veil, that is his flesh. We're talking about the body of Christ. His flesh was his earthly body. Not talking about sinful flesh, because Jesus didn't have that. It's talking about his earthly body. He had to die in his flesh, in his body, or there would never be any way to get to God. You realize that? In his flesh, he had to die, or there would never be any way to get to God. That's why the night before he died, what did he pray to his Father? If possible, take this cup from me, but not my will be done, but yours. You say, well, wasn't it possible? No, it wasn't possible, because God had this in mind for us. And he allowed his Son to be murdered on the cross for us. He had to die in his flesh, or there would be no way to get to God. When he died in the temple, or when he died, the temple veil was torn. When he died on the cross, his body was torn. The Bible said he was marred more than any man. It was a symbol of the problem of sin that separates us from God, but he paid for the sin by having his earthly body sacrificed. So this was the picture. It was a picture that these Jews could relate to. They were catching it. So you see, this is one aspect of evangelism you need to think about. He's using what they wanted to go back under, a religious system that they knew and they wanted to be a part of to gain some type of relief in this life. But he's using that to show them that it's not good enough and that there is something better. He's using what they know to show them a new truth. That truth in Christ. So think about that, as you have an opportunity to evangelize. don't show them something they have can relate not at all to, but take what they know, where they're at, and show them the truth. Or take what you know. Take who you are and your background. That's why so many people, so they share their testimony when they go out to show others Jesus Christ. They just share their testimony, who they are, how God reached them. Look what the next verse says. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, this would be Jesus Christ. We'd understand that he's the great priest under the order of Melchizedek. We've already looked at all that. But this picture here is what Christianity really looks like. It's what, it's why they, wanted to go back under a religious system. They wanted to go back under the religious system that they had grown up with, that they knew, they understood how it worked. But yet, what they didn't understand, it was how it was fulfilled in Christ. But so often, you know, we see religious systems today. And what is a religious system, by the way? A religious system is any system where we think we can be good enough to get to God, where all we have to do is perform, 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 and we are good enough for God. Folks, this church is not based on a religious system, all right? Now, Scripture does talk about religion, pure religion. Undefiled is what? It's caring for those in need. The orphans, the widows, caring for them. That's pure religion. But here, they're wanting to go under a religious system in which they were supposed to be able to be good enough for God. They had to sacrifice everything else. And yet, the writer here is saying, look, what you need is Jesus Christ. This is all you need. And here's the picture of what will look like when you have him. You'll have boldness to come in. You'll have boldness to come right before God. It's his blood through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. That's what gives us this confidence, this boldness. And he gives us a new way, and he brings it about. And he does so through his flesh, through the death of his son Jesus. That's the veil. You say, well, wait a second. That veil, it represented sin because sin stood between God and man. Guess what Jesus Christ represented when he was on the cross? Doesn't sound right, does it? Christ represented sin. He did. The Bible says he became sin. He took on the nature of sin on the cross so that we could have the nature of God, the righteousness of God in him. So this is what salvation looks like. This is what this picture looked like. We have such advantages. We have boldness. We enter the holy place in a new way. We have a great high priest. This is a true picture of salvation. Notice here, I want you to see this, and even as we go on, I want you to see that we're not talking that this picture of salvation and picture of the Christian life. He doesn't say, oh, and keep taking care of those sins. And make sure you take care of those sins that you keep committing. And make sure he doesn't emphasize sin at all. Why? Because the blood of Christ, that one sacrifice, has put away sin before God. It's the same thing we talked about last week. The fact that our identity is now wrapped up in Christ. It's not wrapped up in sin. So many times, we wrap up our identity in sin. Well, I'm not good enough. Well, I'm really bad. I have this problem, and I have that problem. And what we're going to find as we get to Hebrews chapter 12 is that we're in a race, and we are to what? Lay aside every weight and every sin which encumbers us. Lay them aside. Lay them aside and focus on who we are in Christ. Focus on the end. Focus on that. The end of that race. Because we have such a great cloud of witnesses. But that's Hebrews 12. We got to get there. And Hebrews 11 is in between there. Hebrews 11 is excellent when it talks about faith. In fact, we're going to reference it. We were going to reference it today, but I am out of time today. So that's what I told you. I might not make it. And I'm not going to make it. But it's really good. The next part, because he has the writer's plea. We have a picture of salvation. Then we have the writer's plea. And he's going to show them. He's going to show them how they can have that and what it looks like again, how much more it looks. So that we're not done, right? We're not done with what salvation looks like. But we see such great advantages here. Do you realize you can go before a massive, holy God who holds the universe in the palm of his hand? You can go boldly into his presence. Isaiah went into the throne room of God and said, I'm a dead man. I am a man of unclean lips living in a people of unclean lips. I'm a dead man. And one of the angels took some burning coal and touched his lips. So, okay, well, now you can stay here. We don't go before God and say, I'm a dead man. I'm dead. Because I'm in the throne room of the living God. I'm in the holy place before. I'm dead. No, you're not. Because of the blood of Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of that sacrifice. You have confidence, boldness to come before God. Not pride. Remember that. We're not talking pride. We're talking bold confidence because of Christ. Not because of me. Because of Christ. Keep that in mind this week. The rest of this is really good. Because you talk about, I can't do it. Okay, next week. We're going to do that next week. All right? So keep that in mind. You have such great advantages. And he's showing these people a picture and he's saying, look, isn't this picture better than what you're going back under, what you want to go back under? Folks, think about what we have in Christ, because there's going to be a lot of times when Satan wants you to get distracted and go after anything in this world, and a religious system especially, a system of religion where if I can just perform. Keep this in mind, that we have bold, confident access to a loving Heavenly Father who has given us Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice has given us a new identity. When we are in Christ, we have a new identity. Keep that in mind this week. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, you don't have that identity yet. Please, I'd love to show you from God's word how you can have it. But as a Christian, you have that. And he's given it freely. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the identity you've given us in Christ. Father, and because of that, this picture that he is giving to these Jews, we have. We have already. If we know Jesus Christ. And Lord, it means even more because we're going to go up next week and see even more meaning to this and what else it looks like. But Father God, what we'll see next week is how they can get there. And it's really apparent. It's really apparent. Father, thank you that you have given us new life. Because we don't deserve it. Oh, but we are so grateful for it. Through Jesus Christ, his name, his blood, I pray. Amen.